Good day and welcome to this podcast of If Walls Could Talk. I'm John Wyatt, editor of Walls and Ceilings Magazine. I am once again joined by our friend Tom Harris of Tom Harris PUR Consulting. Hey, Tom, it's been a while since we chatted.
Yeah, John, how are you doing these days?
I'm doing just fine, and we certainly are upon spring, so that's great news. We're past some trade shows. I just got back one from myself that you and I were chatting about from the Northwest Wall and Ceiling Bureau show in Idaho there, Coeur d'Alene. But let's move on to something else that's pressing, Tom. This is an important subject that you want to discuss today. So in this podcast, we are going to discuss proper documentation. So, Tom, what does that mean to contractors?
Yeah, it's a great topic, John. And, you know, I've spent over 40 years in the polyurethane foam insulation space, and I've experienced lots of ups and downs in the economy and their effect on our little industry here. And there's a couple of observations that I can make from my chair. One, when money's tight, homeowners look for ways to save money by upgrading their insulation and air sealing. And secondly, I see product manufacturers getting really creative and innovative with their product development schemes. And, you know, nothing stimulates activity like a downturn in economy.
Well, depending on who you listen to, and if we are headed for a recession or the economy is at least slowing due to uncertainty and inflation, so money is tight. Why are homeowners willing to spend money now?
Well, recent surveys, John, show a trend away from the luxury items, you know, when money's tight, in favor of items and materials that can show a payback, like reduced energy bills for the homeowner. So upgrading the insulation in your home or air sealing around some of these leakage points, that gets the nod ahead of countertops and new appliances. At least that's what the surveys are saying. If the money is put towards something that immediately saves money, like starting next month, then homeowners are willing to do that, more so in a tight economy.
All right. So contractors in the energy conservation space don't see a downturn?
Oh, no. They see a downturn. You know, terms are getting extended. Payment becomes a bit of a catch point. But the slowdown's not as great as with other industries or items.
All right, I see that, but what about material manufacturers? How do they react in a slow economy?
Yeah, whenever there's an extended, now it's got to be an extended slowdown in the material sales. I see them doing one of two things. Domestic manufacturers will focus on innovation, and a lot of new products are developed and markets get flooded with less expensive offshore options. That's the danger.
Well, Tom, do you have any examples of that?
Yeah, sure. In an effort to differentiate themselves from other spray foam material manufacturers, new applications for existing materials are created, like slab jacking, or an entirely new material like these new lines of equipment that offer ratio monitoring and these sorts of things. It's real upgrade from the old equipment, say 10 years ago.
Well, what about the offshore effect?
Yeah, sure. When the economic environment is driving everyone to be more selective, hopefully saving some money along the way, I see a host of new material providers popping up, and most of them are from offshore. So consumers and both contractors and the, you know, the DIY crowd, they need to be more careful when purchasing these products, as most offshore products have not been tested and approved for use in the U.S., and that's a problem.
Come on, Tom, how is that possible?
It's easier than you think, John. I mean, bring the product into a warehouse, set up a website, sell direct to the consumer from the, you know, from your website or through Amazon. The consumer doesn't realize that these products aren't tested. They assume that if it's for sale, yeah, it must be approved. The two consumer protection groups that are acting on behalf of the U.S. consumer, these people are swamped, and their numbers, as a result of DOGE, are getting smaller, not greater. So it looks like it's up to the buyer to actually check out the materials they're buying, which in my opinion is not correct. But that's what the internet and electronic commerce has given us.
All right, so what can be done about it?
All right, well, contractors. I think they all need a purchasing process, something, a checklist that they can apply to all of their purchases. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to check code compliance first. They need to have a process that looks at is it or should I buy this product? You know, it's no longer how do I buy this product because I think it's cheap and it's great. It's about should I buy this product? And that's the thinking that'll reduce risk and keep more money in your pocket. For homeowners, I suggest the only thing they can do is do your homework. Go to the manufacturer's website, ask for safety data sheets. And if you don't know what a safety data sheet is, that's a form that every chemical manufacturer has to provide with those materials that identify the safety issues, the chemistry, the protection, the PPE, you know, all those sorts of things that are needed for those products to be used safely. It's called the safety data sheet. Ask for the technical data sheet. Ask for code compliance reports. And if they can't provide these documents, don't buy the product. And if you want to go one step further, you can report that product or manufacturer to the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. File a complaint online. They're available. I've done it many times. They can also file a complaint with the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, and that's also available online. So we as consumers need to be aware of the potential fraud, and it's actually fraud. And protect our markets. A slow economy will do strange things to people. It's a motivator on one hand. It motivates, you know, innovation and creativity, but exposes buyers to potentially harmful products and situations when they're just trying to save a penny.
Ain't that the truth? And we've seen that before. Tom, really, this is all the time we have for today. But you know what? I'm really excited for people to listen to this podcast because it is an important subject. And basically, yeah, there's going to be some good feedback from this. So thanks again. So, Tom, before we kind of close this up, you got a taster for what we're going to chat about next time.
Yeah, since we're you know the at least in Minneapolis where I am, the rains have gone and we're into the summer stretch now, so that's roofing season. So let's talk about how roofing contractors can estimate the energy savings related to say the commercial retrofit roofing space.
Sounds like a great topic and something that also our sister brand roofing contractor listeners will want to check out. So, folks, that's all we have for today. I've been speaking with Tom Harris of Tom Harris PUR Consulting, and this has been John Wyatt. Thanks for listening to this podcast of If Walls Could Talk. Thanks again, Tom.
A pleasure, John.